the Get LinkedIner Show. LinkedIn mastery for your job search, B2B lead gen sales, and personal branding. This episode is sponsored by the SchoolOfMarketStudies.com, a financial learning initiative of Buddha Zorba Investment and Services Private Limited. Their flagship master course in equity research and valuation is currently open for admissions. The course is being conducted online by myself, Vineet Bulinchka. As a part of my professional career, I head the equities research desk for a pan-India broking firm. So as far as getting learning in equities is concerned, you are in good hands, if I may say so. This online program offers 36 hours of tutelage, meted over 18 sessions of 2 hours each. The sessions being recorded ensures that you do not miss even a single minute of learning. Post the 18 learning sessions, you undergo 4 months of one-on-one practical training, working on live cases, where you undertake industry analysis, learn to evaluate the leadership along with the business model. Based on interactions with company management, you learn to build financial models and value the companies. The learning over the 4 months of internship will train you to be an expert analyst with the ability to analyze over 80% of the market. I can assure you that for a new entrant, your skill set would be on par with most experienced analysts. So are you interested in enrolling for the Master Course in Equity Research and Valuation program? WhatsApp me on 9730836363, and as a special listener of the Get LinkedIner podcast, you will get a 3000 rupees discount on the fees to this flagship program when you WhatsApp me with the letters SMS. Don't forget to WhatsApp me with the letters SMS. Hello boys and girls, ladies and gents, this is Vineet Bulinchka. Welcome to the maiden episode of the Get LinkedIner Show, LinkedIn mastery for your job search, lead gen and B2B sales and personal branding. It is my job to interview people who are the best at what they do and have had success at using LinkedIn in their professional journey. And in today's episode, we chat with the young and dynamic team of a startup company. After the onset of COVID, event tech startup Frazier found themselves completely out of work. The three young promoters, Pratik, Drona, and Pranav, not to be outdone, regrouped the energies of their team, and out of that was born a new video conferencing product, NYUC, that they believe is going to upstage market leader Zoom. Bootstrapped and with no plans to raise funds, Frazier and I caught up, ironically, on Zoom to record this podcast. And while the recording quality is slightly under the weather, the audacity of their dreams and intentions is as clear as the clear blue skies. COVID may have certainly paralyzed the world, but NYUC, a direct outcome of the pandemic, is just what the creators of Zoom would have never expected. Only time will tell whether this David versus Goliath moment will make heroes out of these young 24-year-old, and Zoom will roll over and play dead.
Drona and Pranav, you know, there are so many products out there in the market. Why should I use Frazier, you know, in comparison to WebEx or Classroom? There is the Indian product called AirMeet. There is Google Hangouts and GoToMeet. And, you know, everyone is so pervasively using Zoom. What are the aspects of your product that make it stand out from the fierce competition that is there on the screen?
There is one distinct feature with our tool that no one has done so far, and I don't think many people would do, is that we are a completely white labeled platform, meaning we can literally host this particular tool on any server, any website, in any company, and we can sort of customize it to that customer's or the client's liking, and, you know, sort of brand accordingly, and then he can proudly say, this is my tool. Please log into, for example, out here, let's say you have a website called www.vineet.com, yeah? So if you're like, okay, I am my own brand, and I would like my clients to just come in and, you know, sort of know, get to know that, you know what, we are also into tech, or we are also tech savvy, and we also have our own inbuilt platform, which basically enhances our brand value first. By doing so, we sort of give you, there are two ways we go. We either give you a separate server itself, or we put it on your particular or your own server that you might already have. Right now, as we are talking, Zoom is recording this call. Zoom has access to each and every word that we both are sort of exchanging. This is like a generic discussion, yeah? Given you are a securities company and you have things that you want to speak and it needs to be encrypted. It needs to be just for you and for your client. No, you know, you can't do anything. You can't tell Zoom ki, you know what, Zoom, please do not record, or please do not share this, whatever data I'm recording, to anyone else in this entire world. It will never happen. They have the data, they will use it. Why they are keeping things cheap or where they are making money is very simple. Yeah, either you pay up, or as a customer or as a client, you pay the money, or they sell your data and get the money. Someone has to pay for the server. Someone has to pay for the, you understand, or maybe investors also. But like, there is a long-term goal here. They want the data, because data, as we all know, is the new oil, yeah?
Yeah, so what Drona is trying to say is that, you know, we are trying to make these subscriptions and we're trying to craft all of this and sell you the subscriptions. It's not, you know, a platform where you can register for free and then we have your data encrypted towards us and trade the data, you know. All of that glitch will be eliminated. You know, it'll be way more secure than all the other platforms that already exist, is where Drone is coming from.
Precisely.
You know, Nick, if I may take this other question, you know, apart from the benefit, how can organizations lever your product? You know, this is a white labeled product. Security of your data within the company is the biggest leverage a company can have. The day a company is dependent on someone else, let's say a Zoom or Microsoft team, that, you know, that just calls for a, you know, bad name for the company. Or, you know, if it's an internal system, I would always, in my company, I would always prefer an internal system where my data is safe with me and my employees. You know, when you were pushing this product out, what were your thoughts behind calling your product Frazier? Our company is called Frazier. Our product is called NYUC, which is not your usual conference.
Okay.
It was just our thought that this is not going to be any other video conferencing or virtual meetup company. That, you know, this is not going to be that product. So, okay. Which is why it's not your usual conference.
Right. Would you call yourself a tech startup, or you are firmly entrenched with other products in your suite?
We would call ourselves an event tech startup. We always had this in our head that, you know what, we are tech savvy. That's all right. We were into this space, which is very, very newly created, called event tech. But since the COVID happened, our orders have all been cancelled in the event space. So what we did was we leveraged our current resources of all the software developers and all the marketing team that we have. One, it was literally a eureka moment where we were like, you know what, Zoom is taking so much flack from the public and from, you know, governments across the world. We can create this. Let's give it a shot, you know. And we did. And we created this within, I would say, in less than a month.
Okay. You mentioned that you have a entire team of software techies and marketing muscle that you have. Can you tell us how many people are currently working on the product, and what's the core team like?
So we're a mere group of 20 people here, out of which our tech team is huge, which is 12 of us.
Okay.
One of our co-founders who couldn't be here, it was Prateek. He's done nanotechnology from Massachusetts. So he heads the tech team of about 11 people who are, you know, constantly working or coding into something new or resourceful, something engaging or interactive. So like I said, this product was in our pipeline, but since we were so occupied in delivering interactivities, you know, we did not get the time. And, you know, I must not say this, staying at home, brainstorming continuously with just the two of us, me, Prateek and Drone, we came up to decide that, you know, maybe it's time for us to boost the platform.
Right.
Now is the time to start working on our video conferencing tool, which was in the pipeline for so long.
Yeah. So, you know, you told us about Prateek being from Massachusetts. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your own background?
So I am a printing engineer from this college called Pune Vidyarthi Grub in Pune. So basically, I'm a graphic designer.
How did you foray into technology?
I used to be designing a lot of graphic layouts for another corporate where I used to be working. We just had a meeting, me, Drone and Prateek, one day. We're friends for about a decade now, the three of us.
Okay.
And we were working for different companies that we will not mention here. We just thought of sort, you know, Drone has always been an entrepreneurial person amongst the three of us because he was a director at this company called Japan. And he was running operations there. He was leading the team there. You know, he told us, you know, you guys are so good at what you do. Me with the graphics and Prateek with his technology.
Yeah.
Why don't we just come up with something that we can make of our own and, you know, just change how things are done in India, be it the event industry or the technology. Sounded good to us. This was about 2 years back when we just started up.
Okay. Drone, tell us about yourself.
I actually hold a degree in BBA, that is Bachelor's in Business Administration. And specializing in international business. It was a dual degree. What used to happen was I used to work, so half day would be, as he mentioned, the company Japan, it's a manufacturing company and owned by my father, but run by me. I knew how to run operations in anything. It may be manufacturing, you know, operation, end of day, it's operations. So I used to do half day, I think, college and used to go to the factories half day. And I've been doing this for about 8-9 years now today. And it's just, I just wanted to do something on my own. And I always knew I wanted to do something in tech. Okay, I had no clue what exactly, but in technology. I was very sure about that.
Right. And incidentally, how young are you, all three of you? Yeah.
24. I am 24.
So, yes. How does it feel to be a young teen? Do you sometimes feel that you lack the mentoring of someone senior? And there is a lot of, you know, you go through a lot of pits and falls. And how are you managing this uncharted territory, if I may call it?
Absolutely. Initially, we would go out for a lot of help from a lot of people. You know, just advice from already established people, or you know, be it with someone. You know, friends, family, you know how it is when you're starting up and you're confused about a lot of things. So one culture that I do not, you know, I just don't like about the people who are already in the business is we lack support here. So, you know, supporting startups is really important. This is an inside thing at our workplace. We keep discussing, you know, when I'm 45 and a kid comes up to me who's 25 with a genius idea of, you know, something that could change the world or something that could change the country's perspective of how things are already done in the industry, I would definitely hold his hand and bring him forward. We've had a tough fight regarding that. We've literally roamed around market from 9 a.m. in the morning to 6 in the evening just to get one deal done, or, you know, continuously following up with clients or whatever that is. We had to really chart our own path up, and that's why we're completely against this idea of getting funded from a big company when we've actually achieved something.
Tell me about pitfalls. You know, how did you go about getting your first client? And you know, you would have faced numerous challenges on the way. As you said, your journey has not been very hunky-dory. So tell us about the first client win. You know, what are the other pitfalls that you experienced in your journey as you are scaling up?
In terms of pitfalls, I can tell you this company that we were working for, I will not name them. It doesn't end well. These guys made us work for 3 months on a concept. We do anything that you tell us to do in technology and we sort of deliver. That's our problem, how we do it. It was late last year. And it's a big company, so that's why I would like to name them. So what they did was they made all our teams work literally really hard for 3 months. And long story short, we were just so excited to work with such a big operation, a multinational, well-known brand. We were too dumb to just go ahead and to get a contract done, which we did not.
Okay.
It was like a contract, which I think is still, you know, legally fine. But end of the day, once they were like, okay, when the costings came and when everything was just finalized, but they wouldn't sort of agree on the cost. They had to, they took our designs, and they knew that they could do it for a cheaper price because you understand how it works.
They
just let us go. They were like, you know what, we don't want anything. And the worst part is we removed the watermarks from our designs, and it was 3 months worth of work, 15-20 people working on that day and night, and it was really difficult to achieve because I suppose you know already how difficult it is to do a custom job. It's always back and forth. The client tells you some the other day, you know, the second day or the third day, whatever.
So, what kind of money did you put up, or what would be the kind of cost that you incurred with all your tech team and your marketing people and your own time being involved? How much money do you think you would have spent out down the drain, or what are the cost of learning for you?
So we have a very unique way of working with. So they are not really our employees, they are our partners. If you say like the basic pay that we give, it's really not a lot, and I would not like to, you understand. But I can tell you this much, that we have put near about, so far on this particular product, we have put near about, with servers and whatnot, upwards of 10 lakhs. The design team has its own cost, and the marketing team have their own cost. But yeah, we are doing fine. So Pranav and I used to make decent money, and we never had to spend it anywhere. So we were like, you know what, let's put it up here.
And so what were your learnings around this?
Basically, what we understood out of all of this was get your paperwork done. First things first. You know, when you were talking about the first client, this was late 2018. These were supposed to be our potential clients, because earlier what we used to do was we used to develop things and we used to sell it off to agencies. So, it would never highlight our name in the process, because we wanted to, before anything, we wanted to test our platform and be confident enough to, further sell it to bigger sharks in the industry and directly approach them. So we wanted to test our platform, which is, I think, what everyone does. So we had become this wholesaling tech company where people give us their requirements and we develop accordingly and sell it to them. So our first client was actually an event agency here in Pune.
Okay. What is your inherent strength of your team that makes you believe that you will hit the big time? And in your dreams, what does the big time envisage for you?
The fact that no one says no, when we have a meeting and when we have something to be done, let's say, if you need anything, Vineet sir, tomorrow morning, and right now it's 8 p.m., our team will work throughout the night and not sleep for the next 2 days just to ensure it, the delivery is done. And we have done it multiple times.
Wow. So what keeps you going? What is about your organization that is bonding your entire team together to give it all and do it on a number of occasions? I can understand you doing it once or a couple of times, but what is it that, in your organization that keeps you bonded together and builds this let's do it and the entrepreneurial spirit within the team?
Our visions align. So most of us working at our company, they're 23, 25 year old, early 20s, young people who are hungry for work, and we have similar visions. Whenever we employ someone or whenever we discuss on hiring someone, the first thing we ask is, will you be able to work as a leader at our company and not as a, employee? We want leaders at our companies. We don't want employees who just do something that is told to them. So everyone at our company is pretty innovative in their own ways. Be it operations, when it comes to operations, Drona has his own way of, tackling things, and they have their own team to sort of get things going on together. They align pretty well. We're all young age people. We have this idea of working really hard and then partying really hard. I think that is what all the startups in India are about.
So what I think separates us from others is the fact that everyone is an entrepreneur. I'm saying I know that some of the people that are with us, they really would like to make it here first, and they would like to move on and actually have a vision of their own. Not in the same space. They would want to experience everything. You know how millennials work. They are not here for, I think, materialistic things. They are here for experiences. All of them are more or less like, okay, you give me this, I'll get it done. No questions asked.
So, one follow-up question that I would like to ask is, as a young startup, How do you decide that your employee has got the leadership qualities and also the entrepreneurial bug has bitten them? How do you decide that? Because in today's time, getting quality talent and retaining that is a very, very important aspect of business.
No, it is. And I would not say that we have not particularly succeeded at the first go, you know. We had to make decisions where those, you know, some of the guys who were with us before, they are not with us anymore. But it took that in the, you know, in this particular arena, I would say, in our tech arena, we had to sort of, you asked about the pitfalls, this was one of them. We had to sort of understand how this particular thing works, because where I come from and where I would say Pranav or Prateek comes from are pretty different stages and pretty different industries. So how those work and how this works is different. So I would say experience, and also the fact that how, you know, we just believe in practicality. You know what, okay, you can do something on your resume. I don't care if you have, you know, if you are from so and so institute. All I care about is this is what you have to achieve. How much time will it take for you to deliver? And once they show us that, okay, without us interfering, I feel that they can work amongst themselves. All we have to do is discuss ideas and sort of execute them.
So basically what most of these people demand from us is autonomy, which means, you know, they want to be left on their own and they will come back with a killer solution to anything that we've asked.
Another question that I would like to ask you is that, how are you going about marketing your product? You guys are bootstrapped. I'm sure you lack the financial muscle which other startups have. And especially with the lockdown, how are you leveraging social media and which of the platforms are you using to do your marketing?
As of now, what we've been doing is we've been trying to connect with our already existing people, like the people we already have worked with in so many, you know, in these couple of years. So basically what we are doing right now is we're providing our platform as a place where people can conduct webinars.
Okay.
So, so for example, on Monday, there is a webinar that we have.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, you know, about CSR in times of pandemic. This will be headed by Mr. Suresh Prabhu, who's a member of. Basically, what we is we're giving out our platform as webinars because there are more people engaged in the. A webinar has a minimum of 500 attendees or good number of companies involved in the process. So basically, this is what we're doing as of now, apart from the, you know, conventional Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
So have you guys looked at leveraging LinkedIn? Because you're primarily a B2B company. That's why I'm
absolutely asking. Very, very, very recently, one of our friends told us that you should just exactly what you said, he said.
Yeah.
Leverage LinkedIn.
Okay.
And we created LinkedIn just like I think a week ago.
Okay. And so what are you doing now working with LinkedIn? So how are you going?
So far we are just sort of setting the premise where we will be like, you know, putting up graphics up and we'll just have like a couple of, I think, articles before we can even go further, which are under process.
Yeah.
But I think figuring that out is going to be a day or two's worth of job, because what's happening is conventionally right now our marketing team, they are reaching out to so many people and we really have at least 2 to 3 demo calls a day. So I think we are doing fine, but leveraging LinkedIn is something that is definitely what we would like to do in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Are you going to put some money behind that or is it going to be just...
No, it will be some, because I think if you want results, you have to pay up.
Yeah.
Not many people would like to, but that's how it works.
Yeah. So, you know, if I may take this question further, you know, once you are set up as a startup and you're going about your works, what kind of money, if you're bootstrapped, do you think you should be using for, you know, marketing yourself?
Oh, not a lot. Honestly, it's how you put your brand across, right? Like, for example, if you say, I'm not very sure about LinkedIn marketing, but I am very sure about Facebook and Instagram marketing because we've done it multiple times.
Okay.
And if you do it correctly, it basically asks you to choose what kind of people would you like to reach out to, what kind of interests they should have. So if said that correctly, and if you, I think, put in not more than 5-10,000 a month,
okay,
it should give you a good result in terms of audience.
Okay.
But since this particular tool is B2B, I think LinkedIn may, we should be able to put somewhere around that a month.
Okay, okay. And since you guys are bootstrapped, don't you feel the funding pressure? And how are you managing that situation?
Well, no, we don't. Because I already told you that I've been in this particular thing. Honestly, I've been working since I was 15. Just out of will, just out of to get to know how it feels to earn money. All the money right from when I was 15 till today at 24, I think I've saved. I don't think I have saved. It's quite a number. We are good to go. And even Pranav has, I think, secondary incomes where, he can get that. And as long as funding pressure is concerned, we think that this is like the holy grail for us, this particular product. Mm-hmm. And we would like to put any amount of money that this particular product may require. And we will arrange for that. There is no pressure. I think we have an unofficial standing offer from a banking corporation. Again, I would not like to take the name. And they are more than interested to, you guys are doing good. Why not just take money, thoda equity, we will see how it will work. Is it debt-based or is it equity-based, how it will work? We'll see.
Do you have any marquee clients with you right now?
Again, name is something I would not. But yeah, we have two big clients. As in, according to what our platform is, we have at least 3,000 people per session. That kind of two big clients we have right now as we speak. And okay, this has been just over a month or less than a month since we have sort of started the final testing and after we have final product. Yeah.
What other exciting products do you have in your portfolio? So you mentioned about the event networking product, right?
We have these interesting things like Rotoscope, which is basically, LFD that moves around. And, you might have seen these airport engagements where there is a screen that displays advertisements. So we have this thing called Rotoscope, wherein there is an image, there is a story of 15 seconds, which is stored, and there's a backdrop behind. So what it does is it basically scans the backdrop and has a 15 second story to go about with. Imagine a vertical LFD moving around horizontally. That is one of the products that we're really proud of, and a lot more. Basically, what we work on is interactivities, and we've also aligned with a couple of companies that are. So basically, we wanted to make this global, but we haven't gotten those sort of events as of yet. But we did have a chance of meeting a few young entrepreneurs abroad as well, testing products, and we are the only ones in India who sort of have the authority to sell it to other companies. So say, for example, there is this microphone, which is called the Catchbox, which is basically one which you can toss around in the audience. Let's say you are having an engagement, some sort of promotion of something, and there needs to be an audience and a presenter engagement of some sort.
Yeah.
You can just make a phone and throw it around the audience.
Okay.
And holding the, So yeah. This product, Catchbox, a lot of interactivities to keep an event engaging.
Okay. What is revenue run rate that you are currently at, and how are you seeing yourself scale up? Because, startups is all about, getting your product market fit right. Do you think you achieve product market fit? Obviously, you have clients. And then what is the kind of scale up that you're seeing, or what have you targeted for yourself going out?
One thing that I think separates a business from a startup is that a startup doesn't care about profit.
Yeah.
A startup cares about how many people use that product and whether or not they're happy. They are here to solve a problem.
Yeah.
So we are here to really, we're putting ourselves out there to just sort of, I would say it doesn't matter. We put in the money and we just see where it goes. Obviously, we try our best. And as long as events is concerned, we are doing good. Again, I will not mention numbers. We are doing fine. And as long as this particular product is concerned, this webcasting and conferencing tool, I have already told you how much it cost us. So we have made a little bit less than that.
So basically, you might have recovered almost 80% of your costs.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, that was so, I mean, almost accurate. So,
I'm an analyst, you know, I know how to gauge people.
Oh, damn, yes. So, yeah, we have, and I think what we are trying to do here is not sell it, you know, how other people, because we have done our study and I know how much teams, and I know exactly, I can tell you right now how much Barclays pays to Cisco WebEx in dollars. And though that is in proper millions of, you know, I know exactly what figure it is. And even though we are not there yet, but I would like to say that we are just charging people to ensure that my team has enough money to, you know, get themselves going and servers are up and running. That's about it.
Fantastic.
That's about it.
Yeah. So, you know, what thoughts can you leave young entrepreneurs with to move in your footsteps? There are a lot of youngsters who are planning to have their own startups and they have entrepreneur visions. What are the key things that you would ask them to take up, and what are the warning signs that they should look at to evade the mistakes that you have done?
First things first, I think whoever this young entrepreneur is should not give up on the company or their idea, how many ever times they fail. You know, it might take 3 months to make a first client, a year or maybe 2 years. If you believe in your idea, you should never give up on it. You have to hustle. It's the basic difference between a job and a business is that job will pay you a certain amount of money, which is fixed. But if business done well, you can probably go places. You can shoot up, you can scale up like never before. You have to believe in the idea of your business. You have to believe in yourself. And second thing is you should get the paperwork done when you're working with the big sharks or you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And lastly, I would like to know from you, do you think you're here to upstage Zoom?
Technically, yes. Actually, I'm an alumni of a college, ADYPU here, and I had a word with the president of their strategic team, the people. There's a company called iNurture, and they give out the, you know, course to this particular college. And I just had a word with them. I was interested in collaborating and they are more than happy to do that. So what he actually suggested today, exactly what you asked me. And I even told him that, you know what, in the near future, I don't care where Zoom is. All I care is people in India will be very proud of what we are trying to do. And the fact that you can put your brand, and use this particular tool, put it up on your server, put your brand name, put your color schemes, and have it tweaked around as you require is going to be a little, you know, I think it's going to be revolutionary because it's never been done before. Not that we know of so far.
Okay, so that's leaving this podcast on a very high note. Really appreciate you taking out the time and joining me, and wishing you, both Pranav and Drone and Prateek, who's not been with us, all the best, and may you upstage your chief competition and make India proud.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for your time also. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.